do the Bible, Hogwarts, disciples, and dementors all have in common? This podcast. Welcome to The Gospel According to Harry Potter, a podcast for Potterheads, Jesus freaks, and everyone in between. My name is Ashley, and together we'll examine the entire Harry Potter series, chapter by chapter, through a biblical lens, looking for insights into Harry Potter from a Christian worldview and insights into real life from a wizarding worldview. So grab your favorite Harry Potter book, your go-to Bible translation, and maybe a mug of warm butterbeer, and get ready to explore the wizarding world like never before. Hey fam, welcome back to season two of The Gospel According to Harry Potter. I'm Ashley, the muggle behind the mic, and I can't wait to dive into Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets with y'all today. Now, I'm not gonna lie, this is my least favorite of all the Harry Potter books. And when I say least favorite, that does not mean that I don't enjoy it. I do. I love all of the Harry Potter books, but if I had to line them up from most favorite to least favorite, this one would probably be last in line. But that actually makes me even more excited to explore it here on the podcast because it gives me a new purpose for reading it, you know? And honestly, this book is really important to the overall plot of the series, so it's definitely worth digging deep and looking into all the nuances of the story. Now, if you're just now joining us for season two, you need to know what you're getting into. Each episode, I'll do a recap of one chapter, and when you hear the word
Lumos,
it means I'm shining a light on a biblical element that I see in the story. Keep in mind that I am not a Bible scholar. I am just a regular girl who loves Jesus and loves Harry Potter, but I always do my best to talk about scripture here with reverence and in the proper context. And if I do ever use anything kind of out of context, I'll be sure to talk about the original context in scripture as well, so that I'm not, you know, ever throwing anything kind of like putting my own spin on the Bible. Rather, I'm using the Bible to put a spin on Harry Potter, if that makes any sense. And if you ever have any questions about the scripture that I share, or if you see other Bible references that you would love to talk about, please reach out and let me know. I would love to hear from you. The best ways to get in touch with me are either through email, which I'll link to in the show notes, or on Instagram at Gospel According to Harry Potter. You can DM me there, and I would love to talk to you and hear your thoughts and ideas and, yeah, just kind of get to know this Potterhead Jesus freak community we got going on out here. Now, in season one, I did a feature each week called Wand of the Week, where I would read Ollivander's description of a wand would from wizardingworld.com and connect it with a memory verse. So I thought for season two, I would like to mix things up a little bit. So in this season, I'm doing a Harry Potter spell of the week, and I'll use spells from the entire series. So if you're just now reading Harry Potter for the first time, I may feature spells that you haven't met yet, but no worries. I won't use any that might contain major spoilers. So today's Harry Potter spell of the week is Alohomora. Alohomora is the unlocking spell, and I've always thought it's a little bit funny that people in the wizarding world bother to lock their doors at all because they have this spell hanging around out there, but whatever. It reminds me of Revelation 3:20. Which says, "Listen, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his home and share a meal with him and he with me." In this beautiful verse, Jesus is telling us that he's right here, waiting for us to let him into our hearts. All you have to do is unlock the door and invite him in. Also note that sharing a meal in the historical context is an act of declaring peace and fellowship with one another. It's Jesus' way of saying we're family. So, I challenge you to memorize Revelation 3:20 this week. Alohomora. And now it's time to recap Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Chapter 1, The Worst Birthday. The story starts in the middle of Uncle Vernon fussing at Harry over breakfast. He's really angry because Harry's pet owl, Hedwig, keeps making noise at night, and Harry argues that if Vernon would just allow Harry to let her out to fly, then she wouldn't make such a racket. Aunt Petunia, meanwhile, is worrying over Dudley, wanting him to eat up over the summer holiday because she doesn't feel like his school, Smeltings, feeds him enough. A funny scene ensues when Dudley tells Harry to pass the frying pan, and Harry says, quote, "You've forgotten the magic word," unquote. Now, Harry only meant please, but the Dursleys absolutely lose their minds, screaming at Harry about saying the M word and threatening their son with magic. The narrator tells us that since Harry got home from Hogwarts, the Dursleys have been treating him like, quote, "a bomb that might go off at any moment," unquote. Harry's miserable at number 4 Privet Drive, which is no surprise because his entire life there has been miserable. But he can't wait to go back to Hogwarts, and the narrator then goes into a long explanation about Harry being a wizard. Basically, it's recapping book 1 in case you're reading this book without reading that one first. So you'll have all the information you need to understand the story. And I used to find it a little annoying, and the Harry Potter books do this a lot, that, you know, the author will start, I think, almost all of the books with some sort of a recap. I think she does less and less, like, as you get into, you know, books 4, 5, 6, 7, but I know at least the first 3 books, it's like, okay, like, I've read the story, I know what's happening, and it can be a little bit, I don't know, boring, I guess, for someone like me who's read the books so many times. Sometimes I'm actually tempted to kind of skim over those few paragraphs because I'm like, yeah, I know what's happening. But I guess there is sometimes a reason for a recap. Lumos. A necessary recap. In my early journeys through the Bible, I remember being... honestly, a little annoyed that the book of Deuteronomy seems like just a recap of Exodus and Leviticus. Like, I'm trying to get through this Bible in a year reading plan, and I feel like I'm just reading the same things over and over. Why the detailed recap? But I've since learned that there's not only a reason, but a value in this reiteration. Deuteronomy 1:5 says, "While the Israelites were in the land of Moab, east of the Jordan River, Moses carefully explained the Lord's instructions as follows." So what we're reading in Deuteronomy is Moses' explanation of the Torah to the Israelites. BibleProject.com explains, quote, "The translation 'explain' comes from the Hebrew word ba'ar, which means to bring understanding. Deuteronomy is not a collection of new laws. It's a commentary on the laws and instruction Yahweh has already given Israel up to this point. This reiteration honors the wisdom of the laws previously given, but applies them in new ways. In later years, the prophets will perform a similar duty to Moses, calling Israel back to covenant faithfulness according to age-old laws applied in new ways for each generation." End quote. Now, like all of Scripture, understanding the context and purpose can help us really see the value of Deuteronomy. And what's more, I learned recently that Deuteronomy is one of the Old Testament books that Jesus quotes the most in his teaching. So one day I was waiting in a waiting room at a doctor's office or so, I don't even remember where I was, but I made a little game out of reading through Deuteronomy and seeing if I could recognize the verses that Jesus quoted. And now I know it's nerdy, but it was surprisingly fun for me to see if I could recognize Jesus in this book that I used to find so dull and so redundant. And he was all over it, guys. Over and over, I could spot Jesus teaching in Deuteronomy. So it made it, you know, a lot more valuable in my eyes now that I understood, okay, this is an important book, even if it feels like just this recap of the previous 2 books. If Jesus was quoting it that much, then it must be very important. So even though at first glance, Deuteronomy might seem like perhaps an unnecessary retelling of the books that came before it, once we understand the heart of it and the reason why Moses found it necessary to give new insight into God's word, then we can begin to see the value in this very necessary recap. Knox. Finally, we wind up at Harry's 12th birthday, and it seems that the Dursleys have totally forgotten. When Vernon speaks up that morning about today being an important day, Harry wonders if he's actually about to recognize his birthday. But no dice. Vernon's talking about a potential business partner coming over for dinner that night, and he lectures the family on how to make everything go perfectly. Harry's instructions are to stay in his room and pretend like he's not there.
Lumos.
Feeling like you're not there. Have you ever felt invisible? Like maybe at school you weren't very popular, or at a job your hard work seems to just kind of go unnoticed. I think we all can experience times when we feel unseen and unvalued. In these times, it's so important to remember that God always sees you. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I love this beautiful reminder that God sees us. And remember that when Peter refers to the righteous, he's not talking about perfect people. They don't exist outside of Jesus. He's talking about those of us who have put our faith in Christ. When God looks at a Christian, he sees us as the righteousness of Jesus. Peter's reminding us here that if we belong to Jesus, God's eyes are on us. He sees us. He hears our prayers. He's attentive to our needs. Even if the rest of the world treats us like we don't exist, we can take so much comfort knowing that the God of the universe cares for us and never forgets about us. This is such a big deal. So I'll tell my students, okay, imagine your favorite YouTuber and that you wanted so badly to talk to him on the phone. Would you be able to? And the kids are always like, no, like, no, you can't. No, you can't just call these guys on the phone. There's no way I can get Markiplier on the phone, you know? And I'm like, well, okay then. That's because they're so popular. They're so famous. They're so busy, right? I'm like, but guys, you can talk to the God of the universe anytime you want. You have access to him through prayer, and he will always listen to you. He will always pay attention to you. You are not some invisible person when it comes to God. And I feel like if people can just kind of understand that concept, it changes everything. It changes the way we see ourselves because we realize our value to God. And then that in turn increases our value in our own eyes, or at least it should. And we have an opportunity to extend that same kind of love and attention and value to other people. Pay attention to those around you. Who is in your circle who might be feeling unseen at the moment? The simple act of a text or a phone call can make a world of difference to someone dealing with feeling invisible. Send a card, invite them out for coffee, just check in and let them know they're loved. This is a simple way of following Christ's command to love others. So whether you're feeling unseen or know someone who feels that way, let this be an encouragement to remember the God who remembers you. You are never, ever invisible.
Knox.
After Vernon's lecture, Harry goes outside and sits, feeling lonely and sad on his birthday and wondering why none of his friends have even written to him at all this summer. He's shaken out of his mood when he sees a pair of eyes staring at him out of a bush. He jumps up, but then he hears Dudley's voice teasing him, and the eyes vanish. Dudley says he knows it's Harry's birthday and makes fun of Harry for not getting any birthday cards. He reinforces Harry's fear that maybe he doesn't have any real friends. When Dudley continues to bully Harry, Harry starts shouting meaningless nonsense words at him. Quote, "Jiggery pokery, hocus pocus, squiggly wiggly," end quote. This terrifies Dudley, and Harry gets in trouble for teasing him. He spends the rest of his birthday doing a ton of chores and finally ends up being sent to his room to pretend he doesn't exist when the dinner guests arrive. But when he goes into his room, there's someone already there. And on that enigmatic note, we reach the end of chapter one. And I know this was a really short one. It's a short chapter. So I'm sorry, or you're welcome, depending on how you look at it. but yeah, that's, you know, I don't want to ever just add fluff just to make an episode longer. I want to make sure that the Lumos points I'm talking about are valuable. So yeah, it's a short one. But next week, we will continue reading Chamber of Secrets. And I just want to say thank you so much for being with me on this journey. If you enjoy the show, please share it with other Potterheads or Jesus freaks who you think might want to join us. And I also appreciate it if you follow the show on whatever platform you're listening on and leave a friendly review. That really helps the show continue to grow. And my goal through doing this podcast is to reach as many people as possible with the good news about Jesus. So, you know, whether it's people who already know Jesus and are just here because they want to hear more, whether it's people who love Harry Potter but maybe don't know a lot about Jesus, or people who are new to Christianity and Harry Potter at the same time. It doesn't matter. I just really, really want to reach as many people as possible with the gospel. So the more you like the show, the more you share it, the more you leave friendly reviews, it's really going to help reach more and more people. So I will see you next time when we read chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets by J.K. Rowling. And until then, stay close to Jesus and don't let the muggles get you down. Bye.